This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom, and what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
I used to hang out at the Mugumbu Bar. It was a rough place, the seediest dive on the wharf, populated with every reject and cutthroat from Bombay to Calcutta. It's worse than Detroit.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly.
Come on.
Get the hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
Hi, this is Ralph Macchio, and you're listening to IT in the D Show. Wax on, you know what.
So yeah, you have no boots.
No.
You have no gloves.
No.
You have no hat.
No.
You have no scarf.
No.
You have no scraper.
No.
How long have you lived in Michigan?
All my life.
You, sir, are an idiot.
I don't care.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie. And you're listening to IT and the D.
Yes, Sensei!
Are we at a break yet?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds! Nerds!
Nerds!
Nerds!
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
Hello, everybody, this is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. I'm a techie, I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT in the D.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big. It's way too big.
Really? Should we talk about this?
Tag team. Should I keep going, or should I stop?
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Mugumbu Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
My name is Michael Zapsik from AMC's Comic Book Man. You're listening to IT in the D. Comics.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up?
Now buckle this!
Ludicrous speed! Go!
The shots have been fired. We are dropping the bomb tonight. You are listening to the IT in the D Show. This is episode 125. We are hanging out.
You had my attention at shots.
Shots.
What did I set up for dropping bombs with? I'm like,
FBI. Hopefully, FBI is not listening. We're hanging out in Podcast Detroit here in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy, always hanging out with Dave the Geek. Nuri, the FNG, is in the house as well as Jeff, the other white meat, Haas. Find us online, itandthed.com. Give us a like on the Facebooks. Follow us on the Twitters, where our good friend Ian will be live tweeting the show. And if you haven't,
Randy, I'm sure.
Randy, too, yeah, absolutely. And if you haven't downloaded our app, Podcast Detroit, on Apple and Android, and do us a favor. I think we're up to 37 reviews now.
47.
47.
Hey, thank you. And I'm not gonna like and we're getting some good ones. Like the ones, like I was a little shocked that the content got graphic at times, but still a great podcast.
That's
five
fine.
Stars.
Talk about diarrhea all you want. Just leave us a review. I don't care.
Why is Bob always talking about pooping? Jesus.
We have a packed studio. We have a rock star extraordinaire, Nicole Johnson, Cisco engineer.
Yo.
Diva Tech Talk podcaster, all around awesome human being. Nicole will be on here in the second segment. And then we have Dave's former work wife who left for Italy. And we'll be talking about working abroad, Jen Trovato's in the house.
Hey, we all know a little something about working abroad.
So before I get into the bomb dropping, I want to talk about our favorite friends over at Harry's. As you know, it's 2016, brand new year, new start. If you have got any resolutions, here's one's a no-brainer. Stop overpaying for a shave. Stop going to CVS and dropping $40 on blades when you can use Harry's. They cut out the middleman. It's German-engineered, five-blade cartridges. I've been using them for, 9 months now? I have yet to cut myself or have any razor burn.
I gave them to all of the brothers-in-law. The father-in-law.
Right.
All of the nephews that are shaving. The 11-year-old doesn't need one yet. But right. All that were capable of benefiting from one got one. They have all since been like, dude, where do I get more? When's do I have to get refills? They're all in.
They sent me one, and I'm like, you know, it took me like 2 seconds. I'm like, this feels so different than my normal razor and – I went and I threw every other razor I had out, and it's been the best shave I've had ever in the last couple
weeks. Be amazing to have a mix of a description of like a disease and like some kind of violent infection or something.
But why?
I share it with everyone.
Get back on track here. Why pay 30, 40 bucks for an 8-pack of blades when you get them for literally less than half the price at Harrys.com? The starter set's a great deal. For 15 bucks, you get a razor, shave cream, 3 blades. Shipping is free. And if you use discount code ITINTHED5, that's the number not written out, ITINTHED5, they'll knock off $5. So it's a 10 bucks. Great shave. Literally, my blades are lasting almost 2 weeks. So it's a month and a half of shaving for literally 10 bucks. It's a phenomenal deal. So go to Harrys.com, Harrys, coupon code or discount code, as I'm going to start referring it to now so I don't get made fun of, ITNED5, and we thank you.
Yeah.
So like I said, the bomb is dropped. When we thought we had enemies in this town, Dave, you ain't seen nothing yet.
We made a few more today, and I'm okay with it because this falls into the realm of we do what we do, and what we do is we make things suck less. We made networking suck less with our events. We made job fairs suck less with the pink slip parties. We're making being on a podcast network sucking less with Podcast Detroit and the shows that we have on here.
So we got a phone call and said, hey, guys, we want to team up with you and we want to introduce this thing to your market. What do you think about offering unlimited training, college courses up to 30 credits, 590 PDUs, and every infrastructure cert known to man for all you can eat for $29 a year? And I said –
no, seriously, 29. Right.
So we teamed up with Career Academy. This is not a paid endorsement. This is something we're doing because it's the right thing to do.
And there's no not that there's a whole lot of room for it, but there's no markup there. We're not getting a kicker. We're not getting a kickback. It's $29.
So if you want CompTIA, Microsoft, Cisco,
that $8,000 CISSP training class you were looking at somewhere else, it's in there. $5,000 PMP certification class you were looking at somewhere else?
In there.
It's in there.
That $8,000 CCIE is in there?
It's in there.
Is the CCIE really in there?
Yeah, CCIE is in there.
Ethical hacking, they have 500 InfoSec ethical hacker security training courses. But I mean, I was telling people, if you just want to get into IT, we were talking last night, and I said, get the CompTIA certs. And you can go get a job as a help desk jockey.
A plus, that plus, secure plus, go.
And then while you're there, you start certain out more, figure out what you like, right? Like the path is all there. You're not going to walk in off the street and go get a CISSP, right? But the path is laid out to get your CompTIA. But literally, it's all you can eat for $29. You can take as much, and you can get 30 college credits?
Yeah, you can literally get an associate's degree.
Or
through
say,
this program.
I mean, say you like your company has sucked and you've been at Office 2007 for the last 10 years. Go in and learn how to transition to 2010 or Office 365. It's not just those really specific things. It's also just some basic computer fundamentals that can help you be better at what you do.
So if do us a favor, do yourself a favor, or do it for your friend, whoever. It's the URL is vip.careeracademy.com/IT and the D. And literally, it's $29, no hidden fees. The only
Let's be clear here. It's not $29 per class. It's not $29 per cert. It's $29.
All you can eat.
For the entire year.
And that's including taxes and the rest of it. I signed up for it today, and it's amount $29 to me. So it's like – and it's for a year. I mean, you lose $29 out of your wallet just like walking out of your house.
That's an Applebee's tab, for crying out loud. Think about what this can do for your career. Here's the thing we got to – yes, the certification tests are going to cost you extra.
Yeah, I mean, it's not – you still have to go sit for the actual tests and all that kind of stuff someplace else. But you have to do that whether you go – you know, no matter where you go. For these kind of training classes, you know, the exams are always extra. But you can find some place that's doing the exam around here relatively quick and easy and not that expensively either.
The only catch is you actually have to do the work. I think that's the only catch.
Yeah.
You don't do the work for me?
No, we're not going to know.
That's the catch.
So here, that's the thing. As soon as this came out, I go, every guy selling a $4,000 class in this town is going to hate us. There's a course on agile development, right?
Yep.
Which is
And Scrum and it's ridiculous. There's I signed up too and I went through and tried. I'm going to lose days just going through stuff and figuring out what I want to play with.
That's insane. So $29 a year. We'll post it all over Hell and Beck. The easy way, go to itandthed.com/learn. It's going to be right at the top. But if you want to go directly, it's vip.careeracademy.com/ITinTheD.
Yep.
$29. I mean, think about – I'm going to – one more thing and then I'm going to stop talking. I got all fired up last night when we were talking about it. But think about all these people coming out of college in debt up to their eyeballs, right? And you have an opportunity now. The free learning that exists today and cheap learning between Khan Academy I'm teaching my 11-year-old. If she has a question, I'm like, Google and YouTube are your friend. You can find any – you want to learn how to play a song on a piano? It's on YouTube probably 47 different ways. But this is where the changes the game because you're getting a legit cert that people are looking for and getting hired on. It's not just I took this class, man.
Yeah.
No, you're getting an actually accredited certification from a proctored source. And literally, this is a –
Well, and like – you know, like we found out that we were a little bit surprised. I mean, these are the materials that a lot of those other places that are charging a lot more money use. They just – they get it. They private label it. They mark it up. You know, they've got – and granted, you know, places like that have overhead. You know, they've got – you know, they have their in-classroom teachers. They have
– salespeople.
Their administrative staff, their sales folks and all that stuff.
We have nothing. We'll meet you at the bar on the third Thursday.
Right.
You know, that's about as far as it goes.
So if you sign up today, by the time our event hits on the 21st down at Firebird, we expect you to tell us whether or not it sucks and what you found and what you've gone through. And yeah.
Indeed. I'm excited. I wrote the press release today. Hopefully we get picked up by a couple people, but I want to change the game.
It took a really decent amount of traffic on the website today.
I want to change the game. It has to. This whole, you know, there's a way to go instead of getting university for free, like some of the, you know, what they're talking about in politics, this, you know, there's ways, you know, just like I always say, like whatever happened to going to community college and working at a bar like we did in the, like we did in the 90s. But this is, you know, this takes you – I mean, if you think about it, if you're good, you can hammer out 3-4 certs in a year.
Easily.
And you got to work off that $29 student loan debt.
Right. Well, and especially if you've been doing it and you know it and you just – your stumbling block is you don't have the cert.
Polishing those little bits of knowledge that you're going to miss on the certification that you don't use every day. You know, I've got a friend, James, who during his day job – I'm totally dropping the dime on James right now. He sits there and takes certifications during his day job because his day job can be slow sometimes. Yeah. So he's making himself better every day, and that's part of his goal. So you too can do the same thing. I mean, for $30, I mean, it's not a lot of motivation financially, but I mean, shit, take the hour a day and work on something to make yourself better, make yourself a better person.
That's what I'm doing. Honestly, that was one of – I don't do resolutions, right? But I'm taking an hour a day for just make yourself better.
Totally.
That, you know, and I put it into my calendar.
Now, does that include like your Call of Duty gamer profile?
No. Or not Xbox points. No.
My Tinder profile has one more picture on it.
I enrolled at University of Wisconsin. They have an online sales degree. There's a course on negotiation at University of Michigan on Coursera. And then there's a cert from Cisco that I'm trying to bug Nicole to get me the books for so I can study for that. So, I mean, that's what I'm – when I'm talking about carving an hour a day, that's what I'm going to be working on.
Huh?
And I could probably write the curriculum for the sales exam, but, I mean, give me the paper, right?
Go through
give
the
me
motions.
The paper. So a cool article came out to dive into some tech topics. And we never really talk about this much, but I always think it was a neat thing to bring up is things that will disappear – in 5 years.
I did. I thought that was interesting. So they said basically, and they lumped three of them in one. It was cash, checkbooks, and ATMs are going to all disappear.
Cash will never go away.
Yeah, exactly.
Cash cannot go away.
Yeah. USB sticks, because you won't have a need for, you know, additional physical memory devices.
Everything's going to the cloud.
Phone, cloud, Dropbox, wherever else. Passwords. Passwords are going to go away because they're going to move towards
everything
facial recognition, biometrics,
or...
yada, yada, yada.
Well, the easy one was the television remote control because you're going to use it on your phone. Like there's going to be an app on your phone.
But I mean, doesn't that mean you still have a remote control? It just becomes your telephone. It's not a separate – like the concept of a remote isn't gone.
I have four of them in my home. So those are the remote control clutter will be gone.
Surprised you don't have one of those like Logitech, what are they called?
I have a Harmony.
Yeah, the Harmony remotes. But again, it's gone from a new product on the shelves perspective. It's not gone from a shit that's in our houses perspective.
Oh, it turned into an app.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Nicole, you're like the IoT expert at Cisco. What are you seeing down the pike? Like, cause, I mean, this is kind of intriguing to us.
Well, if your phone becomes your remote control,
okay,
does that mean your kids have to have access to your phone?
No, that's not happening.
Well, then
they would have their own phone, and its rights would be only what they could control.
Dad can't.
So no recording certain.
You do that, or you can't change football when dad's watching football, right? That's
priority. Yeah, because that'll be the thing.
But now I have to get my kids' phones if I want to give them access to control the television.
Yeah, it's like
the remote is still there. You just have to go buy every remote you have. It's this wretched consumerism scheme that we're all
exactly. Yeah, you get rid of your one remote, replace it with four copies of the remote you have. Yeah,
but I saw a Kickstarter for a button, and you press the one button, and it like powers down every single thing in your house. It's like a prep mode. Exit mode. I thought that was kind of interesting.
So it's a clapper.
Yeah.
Clap on, clap on.
This
one's called the Tapper, Dave.
Yeah, like
tapper.
I have to be the master of the
office.
It's
a dapper tapper.
That's
a little bow tie.
Well, the Amazon Echo, and you have the Wemo plugs, and I go, it's a modern day clapper. Like, Alexa, turn off the, you know.
We just got back from vacation, and my husband actually said, "I missed you, Alexa." I was like, wait a minute. Who's
did,
Alexa?
Did it talk back?
Yeah. She was like, oh, I love you. I missed you too.
Jokes are stupid, by the way, if you tell it to tell me a joke.
They are.
I guess another bomb got dropped that was kind of interesting, that General Motors threw a $500 million check at Lyft.
$500 million at Lyft, trying to help specifically target and combat Uber.
Well, that I think they're trying to push. I mean, if you're an Uber driver now, I think your days are limited, because I think Uber and Lyft are both moving in the direction of trying to build self-driving autonomous cars. So you hit a button and a Lyft shows up at your house, but nobody's driving it. I think that's where they're trying to.
So it's like Total Recall, and you got like the robot.
Yes. The Johnny Cab.
Right. Thank you. Right.
That's creepy as hell.
Right.
Well,
but you got to have – it's all about the human touch. Like you got to have like –
Yes, some guy to give you mints and give you a charger. And
right. Well, they were talking about – wasn't Ford talking about implementing Siri in their user experience?
Well, yeah. The new,
now at the Lyft car, you can have Siri. So you need to ask questions, right? Or, But again, I think, you know, what happens if you don't know where to go? Because sometimes it's like, hey, there's that pizza joint next to that thing by that place. And an Uber driver is going to be like, oh, yeah, yeah, that joint. But, you know, the self-driving car, you know, that's the thing. There's got to be a human element somewhere.
I don't know. It's like every time I ask my Uber driver where something is, they're like, oh, I don't know, man. I live in Ipsy. I'm like, yeah, sorry.
Great.
I'm just here for the
Royal search pricing. Good,
oh, my God. Speaking of search pricing, did you see that?
Well, so I was going to say, we didn't even touch on. So, you know, this is the first show of the new year. We did survive New Year's
Happy
Eve.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah. We went downtown. We had a good time. You know, we did the Whitney for dinner and, you know, V nightclub and all that fun stuff. And we did. We were responsible citizens. We took Ubers everywhere. And I'm not going to lie. The last one we took, which was hilarious because it was eight of us at that point getting picked up by a dude in a Yukon.
He was not pleased with us.
He was not amused by us at all. And we just all kind of piled and poured in, and there were people sitting on the floor. And, you know, and I'm like, dude, here's an extra 20. Just go.
Oh, you did
just,
too?
Oh, you did too?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, wait, did he come running after you to tell you that I didn't go? No. So surge pricing wasn't full effect. I mean, it was, you know, it's New Year's Eve, you're on about it, and it wasn't bad. I mean, it was like between 2.3 and 2.8 was, I think, the highest that I saw as we were driving around.
And when you got your email, did it actually say 2.3 or 2.8 or no?
Okay. Oh, yeah, it did.
But Miami's the one.
For New Year's?
Yeah.
Dude, that's not bad. Hey. In all things considered, that is not bad.
No, not at all.
Saturday night in Ferndale.
So the night before Thanksgiving, there's a girl in my LinkedIn network that I used to work with. Her brother took an Uber home. It was like 10.1 times. Quite literally, she said it would have been a $10 cab ride. It was $110 getting home. And I paid opening day coming back from Detroit. I think I was 4.9 or 5.8. So it,
like I got an SUV
on New Year's Eve. That's not bad.
From Book Cadillac to the Whitney, it was $25 for an SUV, not an Uber XL. Like an SUV, right, where they come in to get you
and navigate. And honestly, I think that might have been – that actually might have worked to our advantage going that route, because if we were just getting Ubers or Uber X like everybody was trying to get, I think we might have hit a higher surge. But because we were going Uber XL – that not many people go after. Yeah. I think we might have fallen into a.
It was eight of them circling the casino.
Oh yeah, they were like circling like sharks. But yeah, no. So Miami, New York, and a lot of other places, people are losing their flipping minds because they were getting hit by 9x, 10x surge pricing, and they were saying it was literally Uber drivers were canceling, like they would accept a fare and then cancel on them, and then they'd go to rebook it, and the surge would apply.
Surge would go up.
That's dirty pool.
And there was a lot of those stories coming out.
They were waking up in the morning with $240 Uber bills.
Well, and so that's what Nuri was getting at, is that the surge pricing that they got charged did not match what they accepted.
Yeah, one lady said she accepted a 2.6 and got charged a 7.9.
Yep.
And now if you've never paid for surge pricing on Uber, it basically pops up a window and says, you're in surge, here's when the rate expires. Confirm the rate by typing in the
number. Yeah, you
got to
type in the surge number.
So you know damn well what you're getting into. And if they charge you that, well, then great. There's no reason to complain. But if there's like a situation where they type in a number and get charged something different, that's legit.
The driver can game the system or something.
Yes, I mean that completely blew my mind.
There should be a service to drop off beer waiting for people waiting for an Uber during surge pricing.
It's called Lyft.
Yeah.
Right,
that's
right.
Right. Or, you know, deliver White Castle.
Yeah.
To a random bar.
Yeah,
we got an Uber driver to bring us White Castle at a dive bar.
Yeah, I got an Uber driver to bring us a Crave case.
It's the same thing, right? Except
is there a badge
cargo
for that?
There should be. Yeah. Well, yeah, I got the, you know, because, you know, you can make contact as soon as you're booked. And so, you know, I called the guy and I'm like, hey, look, here's the deal. Don't actually need a ride. What I need you to do is find a White Castle near where you are and just bring us a Crave case and we'll tip you. And he was like, all right. And he did.
Well, and I learned something about Dave that day. If I say you can't do something,
it
motivates Dave.
That's what I love about you.
Dave, there's no way you can update the website, Dave. There's no way.
These images are so outdated and the color palette, it needs to change.
There's no way you can do it, Dave. I dare you.
Yes, I mean it was interesting. Actually, speaking of price increases and surges, I thought it was an interesting article about the cable companies that their basic response to cord cutters and losing their market share is to raise prices.
You know what it is? When I read that, first thing I thought of is what's going on in New York right now with cigarette pricing. And the people that raise the taxes think, well, if there's like, – let's just common math. You're selling 100 packs of cigarettes. If we raise the taxes a dollar, we're going to raise another $100. Well, it doesn't work like that. People
quit.
Are going to Virginia, or people are quitting. They're smuggling them in. So cable companies, what they don't, you know, they're losing. Oh my God, we're losing revenue. We should raise prices. It's like you just double down on losing more revenue.
Well, it's like the U.S. government and their approach to fixing the mail service, right? Like, well, we just need to deliver less. That's the answer. So all your competition is delivering more. You've got a model where Amazon is looking to basically use drones to deliver at any point possible throughout the day on the hour.
Happening in Tokyo, though.
Oh, did you see this? This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. So Tokyo outlawed – Japan has outlawed drones.
In the city.
In the city. Yeah. So what they've done is they had a bunch of their task force and their police with like a giant drone with like a fishing net.
With a 10-foot net.
To capture.
And if they see a drone.
It's a drone catcher drone?
Yeah.
So if they see a drone, their drone takes off.
The drone police goes and gets the other drone?
No, but here's where it's stupid is the guy that's flying that drone's not just going to sit there and go, uh-oh, here comes a drone with a net. I'm just going to sit here. He's going to fly that thing like a sumbitch and get away from it.
It's going to be like – it's going to be like –
it's Smokey and the Bandit with drones.
Right.
It's going to be drone cops.
Just put a little shark fin on top of it and like – dun-dun.
Right.
So, no, I didn't see this. Thank you for sharing.
It's an amazing video because it just like – the other one just sitting there like, oh, yeah, that's how it works. You didn't know that's how it works? The drone – it's a pilot just goes, oh, I better – but I mean –
moronic.
That's the thing like with the FAA here like – Have you
registered your drone?
I have the Millennium Falcon drone. I don't think it registers on the map for the FAA. But it's like $5. But like, is it a money grab? Like, they're not. What are they doing? Like,
everything's a money grab.
No.
But to go back to the other thing, I'm curious. Dave, are you still on standard cable service or no?
I'm actually finally. So I'm looking to get rid of it finally.
Okay.
So I got myself an over the air HD antenna.
Okay.
Got myself a Roku. Got myself.
Are you like a Hulu Netflix subscriber? Yep. Got all
so
that.
Came with like 6 months free of everything when I got the Roku. So I'm like, and so what I'm trying to do now is basically map out. Where are the things that we watch?
Yeah.
And trying to get through that, especially
the kids. And figure out your coverage and what you've got to do.
Because especially the kids, because, I mean, it's they're the ones in particular that are going to get shitty if their shows are gone.
Yeah. Bob, what about you? What are you doing?
Here's my take. I'm paying out the butt right now, and I know it. If I cancel, my internet's going to go up to like $120 a month. Then I'm going to get Netflix, and I'm going to get Hulu, and I'm going to get ESPN Game Day or whatever the heck – MLB package because I got to watch baseball in the summer and that's going to cost me $180. By the time it's all said and done,
you're going to spend the same amount of money anyway.
Right. And I'm going to get HBO, you know, a la carte and I'm going to, you know.
But it's interesting. So I'm one of those people that still gets snail mail. I'm one of those people because I think if you want to do business with me, you should send me a bill in the mail. That's my approach. And I was going through my latest Comcast statement.
We had this conversation. So what discount do you give me if I go to paperless billing? Well, none. Well, then no, you're sending me a bill.
You can send me a bill because I'm not going to print it for myself if I need to review it for any reason. And rifling through, I saw the little insert that, as a Comcast customer, we just wanted to let you know that effective January 1st, 2016, your rates will be increasing. And it walks you through all the details and all the nonsense. But it's like, you guys weren't gouging me quite enough before. And, now you're really putting the screws to me. And you think by doing this, you're going to be able to recoup the funds that you're losing from all the people that are defecting to just, I'm going to get what I need over the internet, and that's it.
Their answer to decreasing, I want to get my price down. Well, we'll just have to cancel HBO then. Well, no, I want my stuff.
I don't want less service.
Right. I just want to pay what I was paying 6 months ago.
I want to pay less.
Right.
Well, because and we've talked about this a million times. It just seems like their basic business model is customer acquisition, not retention.
Oh completely. Absolutely.
Well, or that, or counting on the fact that there are cities with geographic monopolies, right?
Right.
It's like, sorry, you just have to deal with Comcast because we're the only people that you can ever get. and hear me rub my nipples when you call us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, you got a problem? Oh. So I want to wrap up this segment because we are coming up against a break. But just, you know, from the just from the same category of the Cracker Barrel conundrum, we've talked about this forever and we never did it. And I'm mad that we didn't do it because now somebody's done it and they're getting talked about all over the place. Someone went and launched wherewhitepeoplemeet.com. And we've always joked about it.
Isn't that Cracker Barrel? Okay.
Or Black Men. You know, so we've talked about, you know, blackpeoplemeet.com. We've talked about Christian Mingle and, you know,
Farmers,
and,
Jewish.
Right. And if anybody ever launched whitepeoplemeet.com, there would be an uproar. And sure enough, someone launched it and there's an uproar. Because heaven forbid that should be a thing.
Should we buy barrelofcrackers.com?
No, I want them to change their name.
As middle-aged white guys, we're offended deeply.
Well, I understand. We've had this discussion.
My family grew up on a farm in Florida. They were colloquially known as crackers. And exactly. I'm also very offended.
We've stepped outside of our safe place.
We have no safe place, Bob. We don't do safe places. Right. Ever.
It's above the beautiful Activate Gaming Studio in Ferndale, Michigan.
You know, and that's actually, you know, we did not mention. So before we hop out real quick, we did mention we've got our events. Well, I touched on it lightly. Thursday the 21st, we're out down at Firebird Tavern downtown. And then Wednesday night, so 2 days from today, Activate downstairs is having their first movie night. It's an open kind of thing. And they're showing Tommy Boy. So you can listen to, you know, the precursor to Bob explain why he sucks at sales.
Tommy won wingy.
So, you know, we'll throw a link out to that as well. But, I mean, it's Activate, A-C-T-I-V, the number 8. You can find them on Facebook. All the details and information are there. Yeah, so on that note, we can go ahead and hop into a break. We got a whole bunch we didn't get to, but that's what segment 4 is for.
We will be back with Nicole Johnson. This is the Itinity Show. And we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. This is the IT in the D Show, episode 125. We are broadcasting live from Podcast Detroit here in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy, always here with David Geek, Nuri the FNG, Jeff the other white meat Haas is in the house. Find us online, itinthed.com. And don't forget to go to itinthed.com/learn for that training program we talked about in segment 1, $29, all you can eat. Literally, we hope people take advantage of it and it changes the game.
A little bit.
Yeah, before we get into that, though, hey, I met a guy online. Laugh. This is a good story. No, that's how Dave got his
one of your Grindr app stories.
That's how Dave got his first wife, so it's not on a Star Wars site. So don't pretend what I do is nerdy. But he runs a great podcast. He was from Troy, Michigan, went out to the West Coast. It's called The Art of Charm. His name's Jordan. And if you listen to us, we're kind of a goofy banter show. His show is actually about productivity, being better, doing stuff. You know, kind of what we talked about, carving out that hour and being better, right? That's kind of what his whole show is about. He brings in people like Seth Godin, Tim Ferriss. He's got a phenomenal lineup of guests, and the guy's great at interviewing. I wish I picked up half of the stuff that he does. But if you do us a favor, check him out. Go to itunes.com/theartofcharm, or you can go to theartofcharm.com. They got an app. They're a top 50 iTunes podcast. It's probably one of the top podcasts in the country, and proud to be kind of affiliated with them.
Yeah,
and
good guys.
It's a good, you know, it's well produced. It's legitimate.
They have people.
They have like lots of people. We have no one. He has like
we have to go through layers to get to Jordan.
Oh yeah, exactly. You have to fill out this form, and then you have to talk to this person, and then we're going to set a bridge. Like no, just call myself. But really, the show's great, and it's called The Art of Charm. And do us a favor and give it a listen if you want to be better in 2016.
Nice.
Kind of the theme today.
Just suck less. That's
exactly.
All we ask.
So in the studio, we're fortunate enough to have Nicole Johnson in the house.
Hello.
What's going on?
Now, if you don't know Nicole, we had her on a while ago. She's one of the hosts of Diva Tech Talk podcast. She's a Cisco engineer. She's involved in pretty much every Connected Women. She's basically a rock star trying to get STEM introduced to girls in tech. Just absolute – seriously, you kill it. We're happy to have you in studio.
Thanks. Glad to be here. It's a good time to reflect on a lot of accomplishments. So kudos to you guys for all the Podcast Detroit work. It's been great.
Thank you. We're having a good time. I heard you guys got done with episode 16.
Yeah, we did. You know, thinking about the new year for us is a little bit about all women out there, I guess, and men too, who want to get good career advice, because a lot of things that we do on our podcast is share lessons learned from other women in tech. So we tell their story kind of like you read a history book to learn what not to do or what to do, and that's kind of what we're doing. So the new leaf of the year could be chiming into our podcast, which we're finally on iTunes, so cool. I'm really excited. Yeah.
You know. Well, that was when we said we wouldn't last past 16 because we'd run out of crap to talk about.
And by we, he means him.
Like, we're either going to hate each other or we're going to run out of crap to talk about, and we're 109
later. Yeah, we keep ours short and sweet and usually just tell their personal story, so it's a little bit different format, so we don't get us tired of each other or the speakers because they're only on one time.
Right. So, I mean, so far. As far as the segments you're promoting basically women in STEM, you're promoting what's going on locally.
We really work on, you know, anyone could sit around and talk about the tech topics, but we work on sharing their personal journey. I had been doing a lot of reporting for women in tech with Mike Brennan at My Tech News and working with the Michigan Council for Women in Technology. And I liked reporting on it, but what I liked more was actually hearing the women's stories.
I mean, is it getting better? Because, yeah. I mean, the running joke was, you know, I came from Hewlett-Packard, now I'm at Cisco, yeah. And you'd go to these sales conferences and there'd be 10,000 people, you know, 9,800 would be 40-year-old white guys, and there'd be 100 black guys and then 100 women. And,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
it was kind of the running joke, but then you'd look around and you're like, oh my God, that's so, it's true and it's sad. Is it getting better?
I think it is, and hopefully what we're doing is just one small step in encouraging more women to do it. It's not just about retaining them. It's about attracting them when they're young. So there's just different organizations. I've been in IT for over 12 years, so for me personally, I've seen this bigger push for the women efforts, and I think that just like anything else, once you plant the seeds, it will grow. So I think it will do nothing but get stronger and better, but, you know, it's just – it's still, you know, 15-20%. I mean,
well, I read
in more technical roles, but I think app development and some of the business and data analytics side is going to be big, and we see a lot more women in programming. I was just down at Grace Hopper in Texas,
okay,
in October, and that's an all female kind of tech conference, and a lot of programming going on there. A lot of women into programming, a lot of young women. I actually did a podcast from there. Two of them, one with the VP of banking for Capital One, and another one with three different people who were there. So it's just interesting to see that women are going to those different areas of coding and development as well.
Now, I read an article and read it, and it kind of threw me a bit, but they said the X-Files – what was her name? Sully, the redhead?
Yeah.
She did more for getting women into
Scully.
STEM. Scully, sorry. Scully. I never watched
new episodes start January 24th.
I got the look of death from Dave. I never watched X-Files. But she did more for getting, they look back at, like, the trends, and she influenced more that character and influenced more people getting – more women getting into STEM than anything. It's kind of again, sad when you have all these great programs and you have, you know – all the even just locally, all the great programs of you know, getting people involved in a stupid TV show.
It's about the power of the people, right? So I think one thing that I always encourage all women is when you're in a role that's any kind of technical or touches a technology, share that experience with your neighbor girl, with the girl next, you know, in your niece, your grandma's cousin, you know, whoever. Just talking about Christmas down south here. But, right. You know, share those experiences because that's part of it. And that's what we try to do on our podcast is share that. And share I call it diversity within diversity. Because women in tech is already like a diversity topic. But what we do is we pick different women and tell different stories. So you're getting, you know, everyone from, you know, 18 turned her life around to 50 been there, done that, breaking the ceilings. And those different generations of women all have different experiences. There's a book by the first woman reporter called Powering Up. I forget her name. Ann Doyle, that's her name. And she was actually the first woman reporter to get in the locker room. And she does a good job laying out within women's careers, depending on where you're at, you're going to get a different experience. So kind of giving kudos to the women who broke the ceiling early on and then how that shapes the different generations of women in tech. So I think we all have different responsibilities, but it's about learning that history and sharing our journeys. So it's an exciting time.
Has it stopped? Like with you hear horror stories and you pray they're not true.
Programmers, dude.
Right. Just like the clicks and like, you know, is it – I mean, how true are these? I mean, is that happening in every office in the area?
Alcohol doesn't help some of the experiences.
Right.
But I think if you take that away and you realize that maybe it's not – it is the alcohol talking. That's probably my worst experience has been when people are intoxicated and they say stupid things that they would never say to me around a business conversation.
Right.
But I mean, I think you also have to have a thick skin and just realize it's not worth it. Someone makes a stupid comment, you know, their fault. They don't know what they're missing. Yeah. I see a visible gap when I talk to people about technology because I'm such a nerd, but I look like maybe not such a nerd. Right. I don't know. Well, I never mind. I look like a nerd. But there's a difference from when people meet me and when people talk to me and like start to get what I know, it's like a light bulb goes off. So I think if we could shorten that down so that you earn credibility as soon as possible for technical credibility, right, or some, you know, legit fact, or even just have some pocket facts, just pull it out and sound smart. Fake it till you make it, right?
No doubt. I mean, in segment one,
note cards for the night.
Yeah.
Right. No, in segment one, I wanted to – you're like the resident IoT expert at the Cisco office, and you've been doing a ton of projects. You had that Lego City at one of our things. What are some of the things coming down to talk about on the IoT front and how that's going to change?
Well, I think it's just going to change a lot. I think within Detroit and within the Michigan area, manufacturing is huge. If you look at it, it all comes – my story of Internet of Things is this. You have a lot of things and you have a lot of data coming from those things. So you have to move it across the network, which is wired or wireless. You know, most companies can figure that out or work with a company. You have to store it in a data center in a cloud. So a lot of companies are developing that cloud strategy to handle the mass amount of storage. But the third piece, to process and present it and make it usable, once we master that, it's going to be a game changer for the business because we're going to have all of this data we can connect for efficiencies, especially for manufacturing when you have lines stopping and you have politics. And the sooner you can bring in the business and the plant floor to make decisions faster, to really understand we have 10 bumpers, we have 12 workers, we're moving at this rate. How do we eliminate errors? How do we get recalls back to us and notify people proactively? All of that is game changing for the industry.
All in my head, all I'm hearing and seeing is the opening crawl to Terminator about the birth of Skynet.
It's becoming aware.
Well, I think that's like big data is no longer big data. Big data is not a buzzword anymore. It's now machine learning, right? So it's we've got all this data. How do we get intelligence from it? How do we kind of anticipate what we need before we actually need
it? It's about using it, Murray.
Yeah, it's consuming that data, right? We got all these things generating it. Now what?
That's great. I have a Nest, but unless I'm looking at my activity and programming it and learning, you know, what good is it?
It's or a Fitbit or a
how. How much have you altered your driving habits because of your automatic, Bob? or do you just let it squawk at you?
Does it beep? Like, it beeps when like
I,
an asshole.
It beeps when I slam on the brakes and when I slam on the gas.
Yeah, but you can turn the beep off, too.
Yes.
It's not a bad beep. It's like, nah.
No, I know. I've driven with one. Right. I actually modified my driving behavior to try and achieve the highest driving score in my office. I had one for 2 weeks.
It became a challenge.
Well, yeah, it's kind of a pain because as soon as you hit 70, it beeps at you. It chirps at you.
It ruins the whole.
With Detroit.
So you could never go on 696.
And hope not to get run over. The morning commute to Detroit wasn't really a big deal. But, you know, to go back to what you said, Nicole, it's like figuring out what to do with all this stuff, right? I still rent a place, and I haven't made the commitment to be a homeowner yet, but my girlfriend got me a Nest for Christmas, and I haven't hooked it up yet, and part of it's just laziness.
And I'm looking forward to it. But, you know, thinking about all the things that tie together with that, right? So, yeah, it would be great to be able to adjust the temperature of my home on the way home or shortly before I get home, right? But when you think about, you know, the vision that Google is trying to cast with that, like, oh, we can tie this in and also bring in information about your smoke detectors.
Well, if you look at – if you look at my automatic
– oh, and by the way, I checked the fridge and you're running low on milk and coffee creamer. Well, you can stop on the way.
I mean, that's that – when people hear Internet of Things, I think part of the stigma is, yeah, I've got a refrigerator with a TV in it or it's connected and it knows certain things. But that kind of is like, do I have milk in the fridge when I get home? Like, am I going to be able to have the bowl of cereal at 10 o'clock at night because I'm a lazy person?
The real life-changing issue.
Exactly. It's the important stuff. But how does the information that you have available to you become usable and decisionable and actionable, right? That's what – I think that's what we're trying to solve. And if somebody can figure out how to layer a degree of intelligence over that to make some of those decisions for you or remind you that
– well, not only did that, but how to do it without freaking people like me out.
Well, exactly.
Because I own your Nest. It's great and I can control it. And all I hear is, great, there, you just punched a hole in your home network.
Yeah.
That yeah, you have access to, but – you've also got hackers in the Ukraine that are shutting down entire power grids because of stupid stuff like that.
Today, and it's funny that people have been freaked out, like, oh, our power grid is going to be attacked one day. And it hasn't happened until today.
Today.
But we'll take it. If we could get people thinking about security and so get the real – I mean, we're sitting at the table thinking about it, but please.
But I'm the minority.
I know, exactly.
We all know I'm the minority.
I like it. Let's get that.
Just do it. Like, just do a little like scan and see how many wireless networks are still broadcasting with the name Linksys.
Or default.
Yeah. and still have admin and nothing
And then I guess one thing here. I like IoT that changes our environment or world because I'm – kind of about the world peace and energy savings. So I think energy is going to be a big one. Cisco announced a partnership with Philips where we're doing some lighting stuff. And I think we're going to take some of our intelligence on the network side and sensors and really build kind of like a digital style ceiling. So I think that and looking more at lighting and bringing lighting on the network so that we can truly control it to save energy and things like that that will produce more clean water and more energy. I'm all for those uses of IoT. But like everything else, there's IoT for the consumer, there's IoT for the business.
Right.
And, you know, ultimately it all affects us since we're all consumers. So the more efficient the car is, the cheaper it will be for us, hopefully.
Well, if you look at sensors, not too many people even know they exist.
Yeah.
And there's some really cool stuff going on the retail front, in transportation, in parking garages, simple things like that.
Yeah.
There's a project that I was just in Canada to visit family, and they're working on sensors with the snowplow companies. When they enter, basically it maps out like an Uber, and once they enter basically a facility, the bill starts billing. Nice. And then they map out their time that they spent in there, know everything they did and when they left.
Well, right? Disney does a great job at that, right? Because they have the bracelets.
Exactly.
We know when you're in the park, so we'll continue to charge you when you're in the park.
You know when you sat down for dinner, so we'll come over and dress
well,
you.
Well, no, now they're
too much time with Cinderella.
Yeah. Talking to your the
Snow White needs a turn.
You're getting awkward and creepy. Your kids weren't even there. Come on, damn it.
You're like 45-year-old male, single.
Spending a little too
much time. Snow White is not for you.
Exactly. You're spending a little too much time talking to Jasmine there, Skippy. It's time to move on.
Yeah. Well, they do a good job with Internet of Things. And actually, Disney was responsible for the new Circle device that allows you to create profiles for your kids or your family, essentially. Those profiles would spread across any types of devices in your home, from iPad to this or that, and it's going to monitor how long can they be on Facebook so they don't go on the mobile phone for Facebook for 30 minutes, then go on the computer for 30 minutes, and then you can also with one click, because you know Disney, it's all about making it easy. They want it to be easy for parents to control access, so you could be like, dinner time, boop, oh, you're naughty, boop, you know, you could just take down the internet by person or monitor and do that filtering.
See, I'm an old school parent. I believe in like the slow revenge. You don't take away the device. You take away the power cord.
The charger. Yeah. and sit there like the raccoon. Like,
your punishment is coming.
Right.
In 4 hours and 5 minutes.
You have like a pocket of SIM cards. You're totally. Like, ah.
No, but there's like a sign in like retail, like even like what the Walmart's doing, triangulating to your cell phone, dude, knowing their traffic patterns. And it's funny because when I used to work for Anheuser-Busch in college, there, I realized there was a science to product placement on shelves. Yeah. I had no idea. I thought it was just, you know, just throw crap on the shelf when I buy it. And no, it's not. And like they were talking about back in the early, like in the 40s and 50s, the shopkeepers used to give like free peanuts away and they'd say throw them on the ground. And then at the end of the day, they would see where the most – where the highly trafficked areas were. You know, it's rudimentary, right? But yeah. Again, this is a stuff people want – they want to know and they've been wanting to know for years and years. And now they're – you know, I don't know if I'm scared or not that they know every what I'm doing and every step of
I my – turn my phone off when I go into the stores. Banana Republic's been doing it for years. You walk into any Banana Republic, Victoria's Secret –
you get push notifications?
No, but they know when you're in the store. They know about your approximate
Starbucks
age.
Pushes.
Your IMEI or IMSI, right? They know these things and they can tell how long you were in the store, about where you spent your time in the store. Oh, this has been going for years. This is not new.
It's
creepy
like
as F, right?
None of this.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I
don't like it. Yeah.
Part of me doesn't care. But.
And while I appreciate your not liking of it, I think like the existence of it is what forces it to change and become something that you end up liking, right? Because You're the one that throws a flag on it and says, hey, guys, maybe this is a bit invasive and maybe we need a better way. And maybe this needs to be anonymized a bit further than
it
is
right
now, because you don't need to know that I'm Dave Phillips.
Yeah,
Dave Phillips is my secretary. Like,
yeah,
you don't need to know that about me.
That's
not necessary.
Data at the aggregate level, I'm okay with.
Exactly.
But if it's, hey, Dave, I see you're in a Banana Republic. Is something wrong? Are you here against your will?
Which we wouldn't get at Victoria's Secret.
As long as it doesn't become like Minority Report, and when you walk in, like, you know, walk into CVS, go, you know, good morning, Mr. Waldenspiel. Do you need to reorder on your hemorrhoid cream? You know, like, as long as it doesn't go
catheters,
there.
Catheters,
right.
Remember?
Why do they have commercials for catheters, by the way? God almighty. What I would change if I was president, I swear. No more catheter commercials. That's like my endings.
I guess the one more thing to address exactly what you guys are talking about that's a tech trend, say that three times fast, is starting to crunch the numbers about big data and analytics in the fog. So, you know, we've heard about the cloud and data up there, but the fog is the idea that closer to the device, before you're really sending that data up for processing, doing a pre-processing on, say, your Cisco networking equipment, actually using that built-in iOS feature to spin off only the data you need. So that could mean removing Dave's identity before we get his catheter purchase up, right? So it's a fog.
But that's me trusting you to have that configured properly.
Well, that's what we have to start asking companies. How are they?
No, Dave doesn't trust anybody.
Yeah, I'm older. I'm the trust no one. It needs to be here on my device where I can say, hey, if I get pinged by an IoT sensor, I get pinged, this is what I'm willing to give up.
Yep. And I think develop that, right?
Yep.
We have to push for those policies. And I think the cool thing is we are seeing this pre-processing, one, for the protection and security that you could provide and you have to provide in healthcare in many, many cases, but also for the vast amount of data. If you actually look at the amount of data an airplane spins off or a machine on the plant floor, you can't really – it needs to be an if-then.
Oh, it's drinking from a fire hose.
Then only send this up. And where you send it may be based on whatever that flag is. So send it up if you're doing just a simple log and you want to grab the nightly statistics. But if there's a problem, send me the files like every so often. So, you know, I think that's just one tech trend that I think is kind of interesting. Plus, I like to talk about the fog because I think it sounds cooler.
Well, a great movie. Adrian Barbeau back in the day. Was it 80?
Was Adrian Barbeau in that?
Yeah.
Now, I read about the fog. That was like some engineer at Cisco, and isn't that a Cisco coin?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably right. I have the Kool-Aid right here, so.
Yeah, exactly right.
But I like it. Tastes
corporate.
Good.
You're so corporate. Before we, anything else you want to touch
She's
on before
so
we?
So corporate. You don't even know.
Oh, yeah. Oh. So where do we find? Where do we download Diva Tech Talk?
Yeah, you know the best thing we could do in the new year is support us, as you guys know from iTunes reviews. We're now on iTunes. Diva Tech Talk. DivaTechTalk.com. The only thing we don't have that's Diva Tech Talks is Twitter, thanks to the blocker of us, who is some robot who buys cool names and doesn't post since 2010. But you can find us on Twitter at Diva Tech Talks.
Good enough.
Close enough.
There's three of you. It's plural.
Yeah.
That would be divas. Oh, yeah. Never mind.
Trust us. We've had enough name changes. This is our official name. We had to rebrand this year.
I remember those conversations. You
know, startup tip, pro tip, check the trademark office before picking a name for your new cool project.
And GoDaddy.
Yeah.
Go to your marketing associates downtown. Yeah. Goofballs.
So, you know, we're happy to be here. Love any support, listens, likes, same old stuff as you guys, and do appreciate all your support. It's been about a year since we really came out and announced everything. So, you know, thanks for all your support. And then today, Kathleen Norton-Shock and Amanda Luan, who are the diversity within our team, the entrepreneur and the old school tech diva. They were on the M2 TechCast with Mike Brennan and Matt Rausch talking about some of the tech trends as well of the year. So another great podcast, Detroit affiliate.
Absolutely.
They're all here.
They're all, everyone, yeah. If they're not, they soon will be. Yeah.
More Kool-Aid, I see.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm fine with Kool-Aid that's ours.
Yeah.
They're bringing back Ecto Cooler. Maybe we can rebrand it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ecto Cooler.
Nicole, always good seeing you.
Thanks for having me. Absolutely. Love you guys.
We'll see you soon.
We're gonna see you in the fog.
We're going to go up against a quick break. We're going to come back with Dave's former work wife. This is the IT and the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT and the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
Welcome back. Okay. Segment 3, episode 125. This is the IT and the D Show. We are broadcasting live from Podcast Detroit in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy, always here with Dave, the geek, Nuri, the FNG, and Jeff, the other white meat Haas, is in the house. Find us online, itandthed.com. Got a bunch of great information. Got our calendar updated for the entire year. The Learn tab's got the new training course for $29.
All the training courses for $29.
Yeah. Right. We got a bunch of blogs on how to interview for a job if you ever take the training and need to interview. We got a bunch of tips and tricks and a whole bunch of stuff we've written over the years that we kind of forget that's sitting there, but it's there.
Yeah, bubbles up. Well, and actually the comic book store trip. One just bubbled up again and
is
taking a lot of traffic again.
It is not.
It really is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Good luck with that.
So, hey, we've got Jen in the studio. And, you know, the running gag was, former work wife. Jen and Jeff and I actually all worked together at the same place back in the
day. That's former work wife Jen, comma, Jeff and I all worked in the same workplace, just so everybody's clear.
Commas save lives, they do.
God, you're killing me.
Helping my Uncle Jack.
Let's eat.
Awful.
Right. Let's eat, comma, Grandma.
Sorry, you went through that so quickly, I wanted to clarify. So
good to know.
Fair enough.
So Jen and I actually both wound up leaving there on the same day, laughably enough. Sure. I to move on to other things. You to pack up and move to Italy.
Yeah, we did.
So that's
blame my husband. Did that awful thing to me to move to an awesome country.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I can tell you're hating every second of it. So talk to me about, like, packing up life here and reloading over to Italy. I mean, it's you, your husband, the kids.
Yeah.
You left the dog with your dad.
Left the dog with my dad,
Because you didn't sell your house or anything. You kept your house here. Yeah. How much chaos was that?
So, you know, I act well under pressure.
Yeah.
And, so it was we agreed that this would be for us. It is not for everybody, as I've found out. But for us, it has been an amazing experience. I've always worked since I was 10, whatever job. So this was the first time in my life that I've taken a back seat and quit my job. I call it retirement. My husband calls it temporary retirement. So we moved 2 years ago, and we agreed. We took the kids out of school here in February 2014 and moved over there and lived in a temporary apartment, and then ended up living in the city center of Modena, which is in northern Italy. And I think, you know, obviously, my husband was doing the work thing. The kids were right into school, doing the school thing, and then I was there.
So you, I mean, and that's the part, because I remember having the conversation via email. You literally like tried to dive right back into just normal life.
Yeah.
In a different country
with a different language, and everyone would think Italy. Wow, how awesome! How cool is that? Which it is very cool, but it's very different.
But try to buy groceries.
Try to buy groceries, yeah. Try to get a cart, for example. Yeah. So living and vacationing are completely different. So it was very hard for me, and I would say initially just being a career person and working in the environment here and then transferring over there. So it's there was awesome moments, and a friend of mine had given me some advice early on, and the lows are low and the highs are high. And if you can remember that during any type of experience,
right.
Especially bringing your whole family over to an overseas country. Now, Italy is a pretty cool place.
Yeah.
Just learning, just getting yourself out there, getting your feet in there, and learning that you're going to fail because this is not your country. You're not in your turf. And so we tried to do our best to adapt to the environment that we were presented with.
So you didn't play the I'm the big ugly American cater to me card?
Well, no. Not really.
Unless you really
speak English, what's wrong with you?
Have you heard of the mafia? Our last name is Italian, of course, but doesn't mean that we spoke Italian. But we do like wine and pizza and pasta, so we were in.
You were halfway there,
totally.
We were in. So I would say the first 6 months were a pretty big challenge, just learning the language. I had studied Spanish for years, but which was helpful, but at sometimes, kind of.
Well, yeah, all the romance languages kind of close.
Right, va bene. So then the next 6 months I spent getting a driver's license, which was a challenge. You would think, how hard could it be to drive? And it's not. It's just the rules and regulations. And by the way, it's in Italian because they didn't offer it in English.
Oh, so they don't cater to whoever just wants to come up and demand something
not
in their
American,
own language?
Really? So no? Like German, French, you know.
Don't
yeah,
you
exactly.
have this in American?
you got this in Merca?
There is a difference between American speak and British speak because my children are learning the British English. And so there are certain words that I do not care for them to come back with. For example, the word for eraser. It would be rubber.
Mom, please pass me a rubber.
Exactly.
I'm having some problems with my paper.
Mommy, got rubbers at school today.
Santa, I need a dozen rubbers.
I got a rubber stuck in me bum.
So you know who's getting the call on that one. But so these are all things that are funny, but in the
this
end.
This is when we
know.
Talk about repatriation back to the United States.
Right. That'll be all the fun.
Yeah,
fanny pack too, right? Fanny pack means like an ugly man purse that you may wear in the United States. Fanny in British English is something you don't talk about,
correct.
Generally, right?
So, like a thumb, for example.
Wasn't a cigarette a fag? I don't know if it's still referred to as that.
My children haven't learned that in school yet.
Google that real quick, Bob.
Right.
Yeah, but, they're progress. Like they'll give the kids wine, but not cigarettes, Bob.
Right.
Exactly. So that first year is just it's learning how to live there, right? So going to the grocery store to figure out why they took your broccoli away from you, and you answered a question with C, and then next thing you know, your broccoli is gone, and then you don't have broccoli for dinner. It's just so. We have so many conveniences here, which I think we take for granted, and you don't know what you don't know until you're faced in a situation when you don't have those conveniences. Your bureaucracy, sometimes we joke at work here, would say, oh my gosh, it's so, political and the bureaucracy. You have seen nothing yet, right? Because it is just now you know that you're going to expect some type of wait, some type of long process to go to, the post office to make an appointment for, a different office or to pay bills. And so it's just understanding what to expect, and something could go sideways and learning to accept it. It's It's a different way.
I got to admit, I don't see that sitting well with you, by and large.
So, yeah, I would like to think that I'm an acceptor of change. And it was hard in the beginning, you know. But now I am expecting that line at the post office. Or it's a different life, right? I've never not worked in my life. I've always worked. So now I'm there in a situation where I'm like, let's make the best of this. So now I try to utilize the skills that I've learned here and support an International Women's Association.
I was going to say, yeah, so you've gotten yourself busy lately.
So I can't stay home. So after all the driving stuff is all done, now I support the women's group and I manage support some of the stuff on their website and write some of their articles and just to try to stay fresh and keep up to date with things and not being the geek like some of my peeps in the room here. I still try to utilize the skills I have to help people there and from women not really all over the world that are there on similar situations to me.
So I guess let's talk. Give me highest high and lowest low so far.
I'd like to say the Dave Matthews concert I went to.
The highest high?
It was pretty cool.
It was pretty high.
We were 10 feet away from the stage. No, you know, the highest high for me would be the moments like in the mountains and you're in vacations and you're just – You are in Italy and you're drinking their wine and it's all you in nature or whatever city you're in, and we prefer the mountains. And,
yeah.
But the lowest lows are moments where, like on the holidays, like Thanksgiving, where I had a situation where I had to go through, you know, two or three places to try to pay a simple bill, and it was just bureaucracy at its finest. And you're like, why? I just can't get it, right? And then you think about all these things in your family and the basic things like football games and my nieces and my friends, you know, those are the moments you miss. You can do all the FaceTiming and all the Facebook updates and all these things, but it doesn't replace.
You're still not there.
Yeah. You're still not there to give a hug when someone needs it or you need one. I mean, let's say there's been a couple moments.
But it's worth it with the coffee. I mean, come on.
Oh, gosh. The cappuccino and the coffee. No cappuccino afternoon. That's the rule, people. And you know, espressos galore, and so.
I would be 300 pounds if I lived in Italy. I would.
Well, so the environment there is different. You walk a lot.
Yeah, I guess going to Applebee's, you can be 300 pounds here too. That's correct.
but they exercise all the time. I mean, everybody's on bikes or they're walking.
So it's not nearly the car-centric culture we have here in Michigan.
Opposite, yeah. I mean, we live in a wooded space, and you drive, you know, at least 20 minutes to 15, 20 minutes. There it's – I walk out my door and I go to the cafe or the market two blocks away to buy bread or pasta.
It's kind of like living in New York City probably, right, where it's a pain in the ass or it's hard to have – or expensive to have a car. And so you're foot trafficking everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So public transportation obviously is easier there. So.
Nice.
So, yeah.
How long do you guys think we'll be over there? Is like your husband's on a long-term assignment?
Yeah.
Or?
So it's so we'll either come home in the summer or the following year. So we thoroughly enjoy it. And like, you know, like I said, it's not for everybody, but we certainly have made the best of it. The kids love it. And for the most part.
And the kids are in the school system there, or how do you do that?
Yep. They have an international school, and the children they learn in English and have Italian like an hour a day. So they understand a lot. So we know certain words for them. And
they touch all the good ones.
Exactly. So at least this summer. Summer or next summer?
I think being in an international school for kids has got to be a really cool experience too, right? Because you're basically
it's a game changer for them.
Yeah.
You know, this is their fundamental structure and growing them how they're going to be in the future, obviously, and to have friends from all over the world and to be able to experience this. They don't quite get it. They don't understand. I mean, my daughter says, you know, do we have to go to Venice again? I'm like, yeah, you have to suck it up. But, you know, it's hard to explain to a seven-year-old, but in the end, they will look back and appreciate what we've been able to.
I've seen the Colosseum twice this month, Mommy. God.
So, and Italy's just so beautiful. So it's, you know, we love it, and we're lucky to have the opportunity. And I'm lucky to be able to still be able to use some skills and volunteer my time with the people there and in Modena.
You know, it's a cool story because you always hear people that move. You know, I worked for a guy that was Japanese national. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a bunch of German guys that, you know, work over in Auburn Hills. But it's funny, you never hear the other way, right?
Yeah.
So it's cool. You know, it's great to, you know, I'm
to hear the other side, because you always think like, well, you're here, you speak English, you drink at the bars with me, and you shut your mouth, you know.
We assume that everyone is going to speak English, and many people do, but where we live is a smaller town. It's about the size of Ann Arbor. And not everybody speaks English there.
Don't let people in Ann Arbor hear you call it a small town.
Well, I mean, the size of it.
That's the first thing I tell people when they go to Germany is to learn how to say. They go, I'm sorry, but my German is very poor.
Yeah, I
say
that.
English by any
perfect.
Chance. Right? So then you're not, you know, American guy going, you know, what's the matter with you?
You speak English.
Right.
You speak American.
Press one for English, goddammit. You know.
I was trying to buy some spaghetti. And a coffee.
So how is – I mean, so I always hear pizza's not pizza. Like we're used to
– Yeah, no. I mean, you know, I love my thick pizza here. But there, it's a classic pizza would just be a – you know, it's a fairly large, thin crust.
Is it like Sapino, like the Neapolitan style? Is that legit or is that –
Oh, like, are we looking at thin crust?
Yeah, it's a thin crust pizza, and a, you know, classic margarita is just a cheese and some tomato sauce.
Mm. Slightly charred on the bottom, right?
Yeah, a little bit on the crust. Yes. They're all, you know, in the oven, in the pizza oven, fire oven. Yeah, so they're fantastic. That's what I look forward to on Sunday because I'm going to have some pizza and wine. Lambrusco is the.
Yeah, I was going to say, when are you heading back?
Saturday evening. So celebrate my birthday on the Atlantic. Yeah, on the Atlantic Ocean. Hey.
Just bring back a couple cases of Charles Shaw. Give us gifts, you know.
Well, you know, I brought you some Amaretti cookies. But
figure the $2.99 Trader Joe's wine. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be a little bit better than that, but not that much.
But it sounds like you've embraced it, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah. So we love it.
And as hard as it may be. And so I know you're on your assignment now. I think back to when I was overseas. And then, Dave, we compared notes about your journeys across the ponds. I think there's it kind of opens your eyes to the way the world is otherwise, right?
Well, it's like I've always said, like, you know, you go, hey, you know, there's so much history in the United States, man. And, you know,
yeah, go back.
This is 200 years old. This is 300 years old. And then you go to Italy.
Go
like,
back a couple hundred years
that's
when we eradicated a population.
Yeah, and then they're like, yeah, that's cute. Yeah, here's the Colosseum. It's a couple thousand years old. Here we have we had bars that have been open longer than your country. I was watching Anthony Bourdain. There was a bar he was in Scotland. He goes, yeah, this has been a public house since like 1510. You can't even comprehend that.
Yeah,
you know?
It's been a bar longer than you've had a country.
Right, right.
But I mean, just the act of being able to go somewhere, go beyond your own hometown and see other things.
It's out of your comfort zone, for sure.
And some people embrace it, and for some people it's not right too, right? Like it just doesn't feel right.
Well, so, some of it depends on where you wind up going.
Then this is very true.
And whether or not your employer is upfront and honest with you and actually does what they say they're going to do.
Why, whatever do you mean, David?
I'm just saying that happens. Hypothetically speaking,
I've heard that happens. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, this is good to know. I'll take some detailed notes.
So, are you lobbying to stay? Are you? I mean, it sounds like you're really enjoying it.
Yeah, we would love to stay. You know, with my family and friends, minus.
Skiing the Alps is rough.
Skiing in the Alps is hard. Yeah, I miss my family and friends, no doubt about it, but it's a great
but
place
not
for
as
people
much
to
as
come
you would miss Italy visit. If you came back.
It's a great place to come and visit for our family and friends.
Right.
So that's out there, of course. And, yeah, I mean, I'd like to one more year now. That I figure when I know the language pretty good, that's when we have to go back.
Inevitably, yeah, that's how that'll work.
Yeah,
yeah, you just get comfortable, just get familiar with everything, just find all the good
figure
places.
Figure out the bureaucracy.
And time to go home.
Exactly. So.
Have you had a lot of people visit you out there? I mean, I for one would totally sign up for it. I know when I lived in New York City.
Have to invite you.
I remember you on that podcast where we talked. Yeah,
Nuri, she's not your work wife. let's be clear.
The night is young, friend. No, it's like when I lived in New York City, I had people who I hadn't talked to in years coming out of the woodwork. Like, hey, Nuri, I'll be in New York next week. Can you give me some help or something? And I'm like, oh, damn it, I want to talk to
Dang
you.
It.
Never wanted to talk to you when I was in high school 10 years ago. But.
No, I'm out of town that weekend. Sorry.
Can you just leave your key under your mat?
No.
I actually did. I lent my apartment to somebody. I was going to be out of town. And I lent my apartment to a friend of mine from years ago. It was pretty crazy. But
so you do that for some artists. Helped them out. Yeah. They were traveling artists. So I had like Sharpies and
I had free art when I got back.
Nice. So
that's a good deal.
But you've had lots of people come by.
Yeah. Yep. It's definitely been cool. People take advantage of it. Sometimes it's just to see us. And other times it's
or
just
so they tell you.
Exactamundo. Or it's just a you know, stop in their journey and within Europe. So, yeah, I mean, we've been really really fortunate. So
very, very cool.
Excited. So I miss the daily routine that my work provided. I mean, who misses really work? But it's just the concept of having a structure. So now I've given myself a structure and things that I do there and in my normal life. And you know, it takes up the time. I'm like, how could I ever be so busy? I would laugh at myself hearing that, but I really am.
I remember having the conversations with you where you were convinced you were going to go completely crazy.
And now, you know, I've met a lot of wonderful women in this group and people, just good friends there, and trying to make the best of it.
So what is it? I mean, you've mentioned it. What is this group?
So International Women's Association of Modena is just about a year old now. It's a group of international women. Some people are born and raised in Italy, but they and some people are expats like me, and they live in Modena or in and around Modena, and they speak English, and it's a group of like-minded women, mostly professional women. That it's a great networking opportunity, as well as for they've been working with some businesses to try to tap into that. So when companies bring the women over there,
we launch IT in the IT.
There you go.
Down.
Someone. And it's a great group. I mean, it really, they do things, you know, whatever, tours, cooking classes, you know, cultural type of things, business opportunities. They're building it now. It's a very new group, but it's already got, I think, 65 or 70 members.
It's kind of like your group, but more cultured.
That's every group.
Yeah, we have no culture.
And their website is iwamodena.org. So it's a great group, honestly. It's a good group of women, and I'm happy to be a part of it. So.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for taking the time to hang out with
Grazie
us.
Grazie mille.
Because we do. I miss you. I miss all the stories. I miss
harassing you.
I miss all the wrong words. I miss.
Shut up,
Dave. I did. I miss that. I even miss that.
I miss it too. But I will be back, you know, so I probably will work at some point again, just, you know, dropping that out there.
You're bringing retirement to a close, and
well, I would like
apparently
to call
that's
retirement.
Apparently, that's Frank's idea. Apparently,
re-entering the workforce.
Yeah, my husband thinks it's temporary retirement. I digress, though.
They'll have that discussion
exactly.
later.
Exactly, it'll be another podcast.
To no surprise, IT in the .IT is available.
IT in the IT,
yeah.
I kind of like it.
We're going to launch IT in Big D, by the way, our Dallas contingent pretty soon. So
yeah.
Next
give
Des Moines.
Dave a honey-do list, as he is your former workplace husband. So
yeah, I still give them to him when I'm gone.
She does. I get emails.
Just tonight here.
Dude, she showed up tonight. I fixed her phone.
Yeah. Virus-infected Italian phone. Thanks, Dave.
Some things just don't change. Yep.
So thank you for having me. I'm obviously not geek as enough as you, but I think that's awesome. But
and you made it through the entire show without using the word interstitial. I mean,
any other fancy buzzword I could throw out there. But so thank you.
No, thank you.
No, really.
Grazie.
Grazie.
We're going to go to against a quick break. We'll be back with segment 4, the Royal Rumble. This is the IT in the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey guys, it's Timog, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D show.
Welcome back. Segment 4. This is the IT in the D show, and the bomb has been dropped. Episode 125. Happy New Year. This is Bob, the sales guy.
Happy New Year.
We're broadcasting live from Podcast Detroit, beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy, always here with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG, Jeff the other white meat Haas. You can catch him at Dave Phillips as my secretary at gmail.com. Find us online, itinthed.com.
I guess I keep meaning for the record, I am available also at ipimpslapped Jeff Haas at gmail.com.
like it.
Yeah, but do you check it every day?
Like I do. I check mine. It gets pulled right into my regular Gmail.
Okay.
Just to reiterate what we said in the first segment, if you were not listening or if you're just joining us, we signed a partnership with Career Academy. We don't know how long it's going to go for, but we are basically turning the training industry upside down on its head, and you're getting unlimited training, 1,100 courses, all the Microsoft and Cisco and security, CompTIA certs, Agile, PMP, you name it, for $29 a year. It's all self-training, so you actually have to do the work, but it's $29.
It's $29, for the love of God.
Thousands of hours of video, right?
Yep. Yep.
I was told there would be no math.
But just to make it easy, go to itinthed.com/learn, and we have a big, big banner and all the links and
all the info and all the
– we've all signed up, and it's – you know, there's no catch. These guys are like the source. Just like Harry's bought the – they cut out the middleman, so did these guys. And we want to bring it to the masses, so definitely give them a look. Make yourself better.
So just from a Royal Rumble perspective, I got to bring this up because my buddy Ferret, who you met at PangoCon, just posted something.
Do you have someone named Ferret in your
Ferret
life?
Ferret or Ferret?
Yeah. Ferret.
He's a little Weasley.
Yeah.
Do you have a friend named Marmot too? Or?
Marmoset, yes. He said, basically, to all the people that say things like this botched burger order is why you're not worth $15 an hour, I'd like to remind you that highly paid executives made Pixels, New Coke, and the 2008 financial collapse.
Fair enough.
I did. So go get your training for $29.
But it's there and it's true. I do love this story because we all have kids. Our kids are all tech heavy. They all play online. They all like games. They all do this stuff. I love the story because this happens every 4 or 5 months. 7-year-old kid had memorized his dad's Apple password, and so he started playing Jurassic World on dad's iPad. And in the span of a couple weeks, managed to rack up a $5,900 bill buying things in the game because he knew his dad's Apple password and could just quickly and easily get around.
Does he get that refunded if he says my 7-year-old did it, or did they like screw you? You bought it and just eat it. What's that process?
So when my brother-in-law, this was a couple years ago, his son got into the whole, you know, online gaming thing and did something with it, but he like hadn't done the whole put a password on your account and all that kind of stuff for purchases and that kind of thing, and he was able to get it wiped off his bill.
Okay,
and, like, was it like? But like now, like I said, this happens on a regular enough basis that I'm really, really hoping that eventually the company's going to go, yeah, no, that's your bill, sorry.
Well, I think with the new technology, especially the biometrics, I mean, you know, is he going to copy his dad's thumb? He's not. But when his dad's password is his name, it's like, what's your password? Oh, it's my son's name.
Yeah.
Why did he remember the password?
Dirk. Yeah.
Right. So, I don't know.
I got my kids trained heavily. You do not download a thing unless you give it to me, and then I will say yes or no.
Uh-huh.
If I find out there's something on your, you know, now it's kind of cool that the Kindle Fires are all attached to my account. So if they download, I let them download something, but it all gets emailed to me.
Uh-huh.
So I have a record of everything you do. There
you
know it is.
I mean, again, this is a series of poor choices on behalf of one particular individual, right? Because
right.
You set it up to prompt you. You can set up your preferences on how often you're getting email receipts and all of these things. And someone in the interest of, oh, I just want it to be easy. I don't want to be cluttered with.
I didn't read the license agreement.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have a $5,900 bill because you made poor decisions and you gave out too much information. So pay your $5,900 bill.
Uh-huh.
Like, accept the consequences of your actions.
Where's Paula when we need her? Pay your bill.
What kind of dad are you going to make?
This is why we should make loan sharking suck less, and we could help finance some of these people.
Jeff, we talked about this a long time ago. Do you remember those Indian reservation loan commercials on TV?
God.
It's like you get a $10,000 loan tomorrow. If you got it, but here's your payment. So I decided to pull out the calculator on my phone and did some math. A $10,000 loan over the course of 6 years, you have to repay like $78,000.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah, because they weren't governed. Yeah, was it like a 238-something% interest rate? Because they're not governed by...
Yeah, it's a reservation.
Yeah, it's like, not... Oh, like, they're Western not governed Sky by bank lines.
Western Sky Financial.
And aren't they gone now?
Nice. I don't know.
Like, there were so many lawsuits over all that nonsense.
I don't know if Western Sky was breaking the law, but I do remember hearing that name. So. Yeah,
but again, if you signed... There. Like, again, if you signed your student loans, you can't cry about them afterwards. Huh. You sign the paper. It, you know.
If you accept the 9.9 Uber surge rate, you can't cry about it when you get the bill in the morning.
Exactly. When you sober up. Well, and here's – I guess here – this was – let's double back on that for a sec because here's the thing. Yes, you got hit with a $150, $200, whatever it was, bill on New Year's Eve when you were probably out drinking.
You didn't get a $5,500 DUI.
That's my point. You know what? You can harp and complain all you want. That's $200 versus $6,000. Lose your license. Yet
pretty cheap insurance decision, right?
Yeah. I did not understand why people were
up in arms.
Other than just the people. Oh, but speaking of people bitching, I loved this story and I shot across. I want to say it's a bar in Indiana.
Oh,
and a woman took to their Facebook page to complain about how her evening was ruined because, you know, they were trying to get their bar tab straightened out and all of the employees' attention was on the strung out addict whose dead body was being wheeled out of the bar. Well, manager of bar responds.
Hardcore.
So much love for this guy. Basically, no, it wasn't a strung out drug addict. It was a 70-year-old grandmother, who basically, had a heart attack in our bar, had to deal with having her shirt ripped off by the paramedics and all that stuff in a crowded place and thankfully, thank God she's alive and she survived. You know, sorry that was an inconvenience for you and your drunk ass friends, who were pitching a fit about the shots you forgot you ordered and because apparently he got called when the heart attack happened. He was someplace else and like drove to the bar and got there and watched all this nonsense unfold and just filleted this woman live on Facebook.
It went mega viral, and I think she's gone. Like,
oh yeah, she's deleted her Facebook account.
Everything.
She's, yeah,
right.
Wow. And his response was, I especially like feedback like this, so others can see the disgusting people that we have to deal with sometimes. Holy shit!
Oh yeah, it's outstanding.
He dropped a bomb. It was the perfect response.
Wow, it's mic drop, walk out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and it's one of, like, you wish more places had the stones to do that kind of thing. Because, I mean, you see people, because, I mean, we've seen it on, Yelp or wherever else, where, the place we went to before, we went to the cigar event, that Chatter's place.
Oh, yeah.
My whole thing, I'm like, okay, we're going to an event. It's in Westland. I know no place in Westland. I fire up Yelp. I'm like, find me the place with the lowest reviews. I want like a total just crappy dive.
Send
bar.
Me to the dive.
Yeah, that's where we're going. And so I get one star. I'm like, Bob, here's the place we're going. We might not make it out alive, but this is where we're going
to totally be. Excited to go to this place, too. I'm like, oh, my God, it looks awful. I'm dying to go.
And then we get there. And it's a great little dive bar. Friendly bartender behind the bar. You got the old guys at the corner that are, talking smack and dropping racial epithets and swearing and Obama this and Trump that and keep my guns and that's the problem with, I think I saw a great quote that said, the internet is the toilet of society and social media is everything that misses the bowl.
Like that. Always goes back to poop, doesn't it?
It does.
But I mean, so like that, like that's, people don't know how to take things or rate things for what they are, but rather what they expect them in their mind to be in their entitled little bubble of life.
They didn't have Ciroc vodka, one star.
Right.
Totally. No, but this was the quintessential, like, two pool tables, jukebox, still smells like cigarettes from when grandma loved cigarettes. I mean, it's crappy carpet, bar stools. Like, it's a bowling, it's a bowling alley bar, quintessential bowling alley,
And some people would never, ever, ever, ever set foot in a place like that, right? So, and you know what?
And don't. And they shouldn't.
Don't. And if you happened in there, it's probably by your own fault, right?
Yeah.
Like,
you know, you're driving by and you're like, oh,
I'd stop in this place because it was the only place around and I was really hungry.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry they don't serve filet mignon cooked Pittsburgh style and,
right.
You know, with your béarnaise sauce and asparagus, but they got a damn dartboard and
fried pickles. The fried pickles.
And it'll run for 3 hours on a quarter.
Yeah.
And everybody's content with the black label that's being served in the can. So,
We ordered the beige platter and had a couple shots of got whatever they had.
You mean you didn't have the foie gras?
No, the quinoa or whatever, how the hell you pronounce it.
I hate
kale
that stuff.
Salad.
No, I hate that stuff just on principle because it's pretentious by its very nature. It should be quinoa or you know, it's
quinoa.
It's quinoa, but it's pretentious.
It's what I can kick the Guatemalans who raised it or named it or whatever.
Yeah, it's pretentious just in and of itself. Yeah. But no, so I mean, like that's the part that kills me. So again, God bless, and we'll throw the link out because God bless this guy for responding the way he did. I thought it was absolutely awesome, and I hope he does more. And then the other little bit of social media blowback that happened was, so we all know here in the state, Michigan State did not have a good experience on New Year's Eve.
Wah, 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 wah.
it did not go well. They basically got hit by a steamroller named Alabama and lost 38-0. Well,
no, they pooped the bed. Let's just be honest.
And a state fan thought it would be a really good idea. Apparently, this is the one time where someone really should have just gone and burned a couch. He took to social media and started he was going to hop in his car, head to the Alabama campus and start shooting. And then someone questioned him on it and said, really, that's the kind of thing you're going to joke about is a campus shooting? And he doubled down with, what makes you think I'm joking? Needless to say, that's when people started copying in Michigan State Police, at FBI, tweets got deleted, cops show up at this guy's door.
I apologize for the statements that I made earlier.
Yeah, exactly. I was reckless and should have been burning a couch. My apologies to all the fine Alabamians?
Albanians.
Albanians. Albanians. Oh.
All right. Well, I want to end the show on a high note. This article came out on Viral Thread, and it's funny because when I was in Canada, my cousin, who's a dentist, he didn't know what a blue waffle was, so I told him to Google it. And an article came out on the 20 phrases you should never search on Google Images.
I did love
Jen,
this.
Right?
Jen, you should never search on Google Images.
Children at home, a blue waffle is not a blueberry-flavored waffle.
No.
You should not, do not, will not, promise that you won't do this. But, Bob, go ahead.
So the first one is clock spider, and basically it's a picture of a spider the size of this woman's head, right? Because I know people like That's Dave impressive. Hate spiders. Me, I don't care. But this is, you know, one of those things. Number three is a circle jerk, which apparently has a different meaning in Tibet because they're all sitting in a circular formation, which is not. Oh, number four, of course, the infamous blue waffle. I'm trying to go through this.
I love blueberry Eggos.
What the hell is a soggy biscuit?
I
don't know because I refuse to give Google it.
I actually know that one. Go to Urban Dictionary and look it up. It's,
okay.
Okay.
Number seven, tub girl for obvious reasons.
Just a girl in a tub, right?
Right, like taking a bath, clean. Two girls, one cup, for obvious reasons.
This one gets spider porn. Like that one.
What's spider porn?
I don't know. Like that one, I was almost ready to Google.
I've seen dinosaur porn before.
I see Nuri fervently typing, trying to figure out what's going on. He's like, hold on, guys. I got it.
Fired up my Googler here, and I'm in safe mode.
No, I've seen dinosaur porn. I'm scarred for life. Like it's permanently embedded in my –
Dinosaur?
It was the weirdest thing. Yeah, they were dressed up like dinosaurs, like pterodactyls. It was awkward.
I'm not a good person for Googling that.
The mucus plug. What the hell is
am I looking at?
I'm not a good person for Googling that.
Now, what the hell's mucus plug? That's number 10.
That's a female thing.
Oh, does Jen?
No, it's not.
Oh, see, I didn't know what I wanted.
Oh, the gasp! The gasp was indicative of knowledge not being shared.
Finally, I know something.
I'm going to hit images.
I'm not
going to
hit the images button.
Don't do it!
Then 11 peanut dog. What the hell's peanut dog? Don't Google it on images.
No,
Nuri's going to.
Nuri's going.
Bed bugs on mattress. Yeah, you don't.
Yeah,
want
that's
that.
Just creepy.
Yeah, 13 spider porn. Oh, and then there's the lamprey eel, which looks like a fleshlight gone bad, which is like crabs.
It's like fleshlight meets saw.
Right. Crabs, the STD. He has his own talk show, apparently. Yeah.
Not to be confused with SpongeBob.
What's two kids, one sand? I don't want to know. It's
probably in the same vein as the cup.
There's meat spin. Eel girl. Oh, yeah, I know what eel girl is. Yeah, don't Google that. And then the Pain Olympics, which I have no idea what that is either.
So I know of that from having read stuff about it. Like that's literally people that do insane things to see how high their pain threshold is. And there are some things that people do to prove how high their pain threshold is that you never want to witness, I assure you.
Like stubbing your pinky toe on the bedpost?
Yeah, no, that's not even in the qualifying round.
That hurts like a bitch.
Like an 8.0. There's no Lego to the heel of the foot.
I stepped on a Lego last week. I cried like a bitch. It's so bad. I want those Lego slippers now because of that.
I've seen those. And I'm not going to lie. I don't want to get too deep into it just because there's so much depth to it. My big question is, what is the funniest name for the situation that's going on in Oregon right now? I mean, is it Vanilla ISIS?
That's pretty good.
Is it the Yihad? Yihad. What was the other one?
Y'al-Qaeda.
Yeah, Y'al-Qaeda.
You know, it's funny. They actually just a few minutes ago put out a request for snacks and supplies
to be sent to them via mail. Because when you're taking a stand against the government and all of its services,
why wouldn't you have the U.S. Postal Service deliver you?
The U.S. Postal Service deliver you snacks. Well,
what better. Kind of dipshits is we're gonna take over a closed bird conservatory? And
hey, every good revolution has started with the occupation of a gift shop and with a closed snack bar.
Doesn't every Jimmy John's deliver, though, for crying out loud? I'm just saying.
Not to BF Oregon.
Should have sent a Hallmark card.
What was it? You know, today I learned, you know, a large group of black men are called thugs. A large group of brown-skinned people with guns is called terrorists. They're terrorists. A large group of white men with guns is a militia, apparently. Right.
You big city folk wouldn't understand.
Right, yeah. And then they haven't taken hostages. They're occupying.
When I first read the – yeah, and then if you do it with the Occupy New York or whatever, it's hippies.
Right.
But like when I read it, it's like militia. It's like militia. Like, what are you talking about? Like, oh, they must be white. Because otherwise, it's like,
oh, otherwise they'd be dead. Let's be perfectly clear.
It's really screwed up white privilege, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. If they were Muslim, they'd be dead. If they were black, they'd be dead. But it's a bunch of good old white boys with guns, and so for whatever reason, the media is like giving them a pass.
I can't comprehend what's going on there because that whole land rights thing, like using federal property and like property that's not yours for like your
but it's kind of yours.
But it's not yours.
But it's not yours.
But then if they change something, then you get mad at it, but it's not yours. So like the whole thing makes zero sense to me.
The free service that you're in no way obligated to use has changed slightly.
They've been using it for 100 years, but
that's the Oregon version of a Facebook layout change.
Totally.
Apparently.
Totally. Right. Pray we don't alter it any further. Like,
well, they said that they were clearing out invasive species with fire, and then the government's
that's like, a normal thing.
The government's like, no, you were actually poaching and trying to cover it up. So it's
who's going to believe who? I heard their side, which is the government, the BLM is selling property for fracking, which is destroying wildlife. These guys are
Battlestar Galactica's in this now?
Yes.
What? Fracking?
Right. Did I say it wrong?
No, that's it. No.
Oh. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Starbucks. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, so they'll be there as long as their bison chili and whiskey allows them to be there for. So.
Well, and I the initial reports were, you know, there were 300 armed, and apparently it's like
13.
There's and it's led. I'm stunned that nobody has taken that ball and run with it. That the organizers are named the Bundys. there are not enough married with children jokes going on.
Or King Kong.
Or King Kong. You take your pick. Yeah, just not.
They're going to be there for a five count? I don't know. If you watch 80s wrestling, you know what I'm talking about.
All right. So, you know.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I guess that's about it. So, hey, this was episode 125 of the IT and the D Show. Again, we have all of our events out on our site, on our meetup group. All over the place, our Facebook page. Find everything we are and do at itandthed.com. That's our base. We've got our read, meet, listen, learn, work. All the fun stuff is out there. We'll see you on Thursday the 21st down at Firebird Tavern for our first event of the year. And don't forget Activate's event Wednesday night. They'll be showing Tommy Boy. Nice, you know, kind of a BYOB, show up, hang out, meet some people. Should be a good night.
Let me tell you why I suck at sales. drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. But you got to get the hell out of here. Good hanging out. See you next week. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe owned the Chiefs. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet?
No!
Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.